This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 53.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. We've been all about the storytelling in April on the Soulful PR Podcast, and this week's episode is no exception. So I've got Peter Shankman with me. Now, Peter is the founder of Help a Reporter Out, otherwise known as Harrow, and that's the service that connects journalists to people who want to be in the media online. So journalists can send out requests as to what they're looking for, and people can get in touch and say, pick me, pick me. Now, there are quite a few other services out there like that now. So things like in the UK, Response Source and Journolink, and there's always new things coming and going, but they're kind of the more long-lasting ones that I can think of. But when Peter started out back in the day with Harrow, there wasn't really anything else out there like it, and it was a really inspired idea. Now, Peter doesn't run Harrow anymore, he sold it, but now he does many other interesting things, and he's a real expert in how to engage journalists, how to tell your story in the media, and also, and this is going to be the topic of our interview today, why most of us are pretty horrible at telling our story in the media and how we can do it better. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention something that I'm really excited about. So it's my Soulful PR live event that I'm running in London on July the 7th. Now, if you can imagine being able to get in the room with 8 or 9, in fact, national journalists from big publications like the BBC, ITV, The Guardian, The Huffington Post, PA News, The Daily Mail. Well, you don't really have to imagine it, because if you come to the event, you can do it. But just to kind of imagine a room where you've got these people speaking, but they're also available for you to go up and chat to introduce yourself, to ask quite specific questions, and to generally just kind of get to know. And I think most of you who've tried to pitch stories in the media will know that journalists can be notoriously difficult to get hold of. They don't answer their phones. They don't reply to emails. They never have time for lunch or coffee these days, it seems, or very rarely. So this is your opportunity to engage with 9 national journalists who can really explain to you what it is that you need to do to get more media coverage. Now, when this goes live, I'm recording this a few weeks ahead, I'm imagining that I probably will have a few early bird tickets left, maybe not, but I certainly will still have tickets left for the event. I'm not so sure about the mastermind session. So that's the session at the end of the day for a small group of people who get to sit down and work much more closely with the journalist and get much more kind of individual feedback. So I think that they may well be gone, but I'm pretty sure we'll have some tickets left for the event. I would absolutely love to see you there. I've run this event or this type of event in other different industries, and people just find them so valuable when they come away at the end of the day. It's almost like a kind of light bulb moment for them. A lot of things click for them. And of course, they make great relationships that they can then follow up. So when they do have a story, then, you know, they can send an email or ring up and say, do you remember me? We chatted at that event in London. And if you're not from the UK and you're thinking this sounds really good, I wish there was something like this in the US or Australia or whatever, I would love to be able to take this event around the world. That's kind of like my long-term dream. But for the moment, we're in London. So if you're in or around there, or you're in Europe and you think this will be useful to you, then I would love to see you there. So now on with the main part of the show. So joining me on the show today, I've got Peter Shankman. Now, Peter is a speaker, consultant and best-selling author who's probably best known for founding Help a Reporter Out, which connects journalists with people who want to be featured in the media, and more on that later. Now, Peter is also a keen runner like me. He's just completed the New York Half Marathon, and I met him last month at Tropical Think Tank, the 5-day business mastermind I went to in the Philippines, which I've talked about on the show. And I was immediately struck by his generosity, with his time, with his knowledge, with the advice, and also just, he was just a generally good bloke. So of course I nabbed him and asked him if he'd be a guest on my podcast. Now there's just so much we could talk about with Peter. He's got expertise in PR, social media, marketing, customer service, so many different things. But I thought for the purpose of this episode, we'd focus on something that I'm very interested in, and I know he is, and that is storytelling. So after that very long intro, welcome to the show, Peter.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So might you be able to start by just telling us a little bit about what you do and your background?
Sure. I'm a guy who got pretty lucky a lot of the time. I mean, I've worked my ass off, but, you know, I think Abe Lincoln once said that he finds that he's the harder he works, the more good fortune he has. My thing was that I spent my early part of my career working for America Online, and I got my first job out of college with AOL. And that was sort of a game changer for me because I learned how to relate to an audience. I learned that if you don't have an audience, and if you're not paying attention to what your audience wants, all the great content in the world won't matter if it's not great to them. So one of the first things I learned was how important it is to be aware of your audience. I moved back to AOL, moved back to New York, where I was born and raised, ran a PR firm for several years, noticed that a lot of the other PR firms were very much just sort of, you know, factories. I was always amazed that they would just do pretty much nothing. They would do their PR and they wouldn't go out of their way to try anything different. And so I became known as what I called the pizza client, in the respect of the pizza agency. I would always bring a pizza over everyone, like once a month to all my clients, just to say hi and start talking to them. And what wound up happening is we'd get tremendous feedback and stories, and they'd tell us what they were doing and all this great stuff that we wouldn't have otherwise known. You know, we didn't charge them for it. We just talked. And it was great because they wound up, we'd get great press for them because of that. And so I realized that it pays to be nice, and it pays to be just a little better than what everyone expects. Of course, then I sold the PR firm, consulted for several years, and then eventually started helping a reporter out or Harrow. Harrow became sort of the game changer for me. I sold it in 2010. Now I'm a consultant. I write books. I speak. I talk a lot about the customer economy and how the fact that, you know, again, just being that little bit better can really sort of change the game for everyone. So it's a lot of fun.
Great. Well, thanks for that. And can you tell us a little bit about Help a Reporter Out and how that came about?
Harrow came about because I was helping some friends find some sources. And it, you know, if you do it right, you wind up doing it a lot, you know, and people got my name and they said, hey, you know, everyone, I'm doing a story on whoever, who do you know? And one thing led to another. And before long, we had a little website where people could sign up and we'd send out emails with these queries from journalists. And we wound up having somewhere along of 250,000 members within 2 years after I started it. And it was acquired in 2010. And so it was a pretty great run. And so that's sort of led me to where I am now.
And so it was really about sort of connecting, so recognizing that journalists needed sources, they needed people to talk to, and particularly, I think I've seen you say somewhere like, everybody's an expert in something, or that was the tagline, wasn't it? Everybody's an expert in something.
Yeah, it's true.
And so it's, you know, journalists have got this need to speak to people about things, and then you've got obviously people who work in the PR industry, but also individuals who are looking to tell their story in the media. So it's just really almost like a kind of way to link them up, and almost like a kind of dating service, if you like, linking up people who've got common interests.
Well, that's really the key. You know, what can you create that helps people? What can you create that people understand that serves a need? If you focus on just doing it to make money, it's not going to work. Focus on, you know, how you can help people. It's pretty amazing how that works.
Yeah, but a simple idea. We've got in the UK, we've got Response Source, we've got JournoLink,
yeah.
We've got various
things. Yeah, and those all
like
came out of people who, it's funny, they all came out of people who found Harrow, which I think
right.
is
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's such a simple idea, but obviously so, so effective. And when we met, it's interesting, Peter and I, we arranged to meet for a run in the Philippines at 5:30 in the morning, I think it was, or 5:00 or something, with a sort of, you know, I said, we'd love to talk to you about Harrow and some of the work that you do. And we ended up talking a little bit about this as we were, poor Peter had a bad back on this day.
Yeah, my back was killing me.
So we kind of ran some of it, and there was somebody else there as well. And we ran a bit together but during this kind of walk run period, we sort of agreed on one thing, is that although, you know, the key to being successful at PR is about telling great stories, is that most people are rubbish at telling stories, and in particular, telling their stories in the media. In fact, I think you came up with the phrases like why people are just horrible at telling stories. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why you think that?
I think people are horrible at telling stories because people like to hear themselves talk.
Right.
And the biggest problem is that people, you know, I always joke that everyone, it's called social media. It really should be called social udia, because, you know, too many people are spending time making it about me, when it needs to be about someone else. And if you're able to listen to the other person, you actually become a better storyteller. And that's a pretty incredible part. If you can become a better storyteller, then you actually wind up winning the entire game, because people like to hear good stories. They like to hear stories that empower them. They like to hear stories that are about them. They like to hear stories that encourage them, but they have to be relatable. And so the way to get stories relatable to your audience is to first shut up and listen to your audience. No one can be a good storyteller if all they do is talk. You have to listen.
That's a really, really interesting point. And in my observations of the clients that I work with, obviously I've had 15 years working as a journalist and editor and sitting on that side of the desk where the press releases are coming through and the pictures are coming through. And just, I mean, being kind of horrified really that the majority of them are just not of interest. We just wouldn't run those stories in a million years. And I guess that's a problem with storytelling, is that people, you know, maybe they either don't have good stories to tell or they're just not telling them in the right way. What's your experience of that?
Well, that's what always amazes me. You know, it falls into two categories. The first category is, you know, the client who says, okay, let's issue this press release. We just repainted our conference room. And I'm just like, oh my God, I want to kill you. The second, though, is people who don't bother to do their homework. The biggest problem we had when I ran Harrow was that everyone was pitching. Very few people were doing their homework. Very few people were finding out what the reporter wrote. You know, I will not pitch a reporter. I won't go in a meeting. I won't do anything without having done at least a little bit of research on the person. And the biggest problem I see is people who constantly talk to reporters. They pitch out without having done the most basic of homework. For God's sake, every reporter in the world is on Twitter. It's so easy to just, you know, how hard is that? Do 5 minutes of research, figure out where you at least have one commonality, you know. But again, the benefit there is that if everyone sucks, it's incredibly easy for you to be better. All you have to do is be up one level above sucking.
Yeah.
Well, it really isn't that hard.
It's funny, actually, because just before I got in the call, I've just shared something in my Facebook group, which is kind of an ideal example of this. But so I work with people sometimes who struggle to get media coverage. Now, over the weekend, my daughter's dance school was involved in an Irish dance competition. It was the national Irish dance competition, Europeans, whatever. And the dance school absolutely swept up. So I said to the teacher, I wish I'd thought about this before, but I was busy doing other stuff. I was abroad last week. You really ought to contact the local media about this. And said, in fact, I'll do it for you. Give me 5 minutes. I'll just send off a quick pitch. And so obviously knowing that this would be of interest to a regional publication and just knowing how to kind of put the top line, you know, I sent an email, which was literally about a couple of sentences long, just kind of saying, look, these local girls, they've absolutely smashed it in this national competition at the weekend. Would you be interested in having them on the show? They'll come and talk about what they're doing. I got an email back within 2 minutes saying, yeah, we'll sort that out. You know, it was that easy. And I've just posted it. Now, that this is regional coverage, which, you know, certainly in the UK, it's a lot easier generally to get media coverage. But if you're sending the wrong ideas, it's like talking to a brick wall. But literally, I just shared it in my Facebook group because it's that easy. If you're doing your research, if you know what show to what to target, exactly, what kind of thing they're going to be interested in, it really just
is science.
It's just as easy as sending a friendly email. You don't need to write a press release. You don't need to spend hours on this stuff. It's just like, hey, I think you might be interested in this. I think this would be great. And 2 minutes. And I've just shared, you know, the timeline. It was an immediate yes. And I often think that people make this stuff more complicated than it needs to be. Would you agree on that?
No question about it. You know, do your homework, talk, reach the person you want to reach, figure out what you're doing. It's so incredibly simple, but people make it so much harder because they don't. I had a professor once in college who told me, probably one of the greatest lines I've ever heard, he goes, be brilliant at the basics. Mm-hmm. Because if you're brilliant at the basics, everything else will fall into place. And God, it's so true. It's still to this day, it's so damn true. Just be brilliant at the basics.
And that just simple thing about, you know, researching a publication, finding the right person to send the idea to, and just kind of sending it off. And are there any other mistakes that you see people making when they're trying to tell their story in the media?
The biggest thing is not everyone cares about you. But what reporters care about more than you is trends. So the best thing you could do, figure out a way to get a trend out of your story. So, you know, if the story is about how your sales are new, how your sales are up, you know, are sales up in the entire industry? If so, why? What can we find there? That's my real question. I'm a reporter, I'd much rather write a story that's bigger than just one company, right? So find the trends and help the reporter do the work for them. Help the reporter do more than just interviewing you. You know, give them some background, give them some stats. What can you do, again, to make it easier for the reporter?
Yeah, so it's all, again, about kind of almost taking yourself out of it and just putting them at the center of the world. Yeah. And are there any examples of stories that spring to mind that you're really proud of that you helped on with your PR company?
Back in the day, I actually, one of my favorite stories, I worked PR for the largest distributor of adult pay-per-view on cable. And they were business. I mean, look, they were a publicly traded company. They were doing real stuff. And they were desperately trying to get into the media, and they couldn't get into business press. And so I reached out to someone I knew at Forbes, and I pitched it, not like, hey, I have a porn company for you, but rather, because what they had just done is they had just knocked Playboy off of the Time Warner cable. So Time Warner cable replaced Playboy with my client, which is a huge win for my client to be in the New York City, you know, Time Warner market. It's huge. And so I reached out to a guy I knew at Forbes, and I said, hey, I have a story about a company who just beat the 50-year-old, you know, patriarch in the industry. And my client came in and totally upstarted them. And now they're the leader in New York City. And I made it into this business story. And the reporter's like, my God, it's amazing. You know, what's the client? I'm like, well, and I told him, and he goes, I can't write about that. I'm like, 2 seconds ago, you were willing to write about it because it was a business story. What changed? And he called me back. He's like, you know what? You're right. It's still a business story. P.S. They got their first major business hit in Forbes. Their stock went through the roof.
Wow. And why did he initially say that? I can't write about that?
I think because Forbes wasn't a big fan of writing about porn.
Oh,
but
of course,
then he realized, you know what? This is actually a true business story.
Mm, yeah, yeah. And it's interesting. You led there with the story, not with the client.
Exactly.
And one thing I notice people do a lot, and when I'm working with individual coaching clients, giving people feedback, often I go back to them and I say, you've just put in your first line of your pitch, hi, I was wondering if you'd be interested in my client, Joe Smith, or whatever it is. And for me, that's a real turn off. Would you agree on that?
Oh, God, yeah. Some of the best pitches I've ever sent, you know, are things like, got something for you, networking group, I've grown it to 150 people in 3 months, and through it, one of my clients just closed a $3 million deal. So the story is all about how entrepreneurs, it's a lonely road for entrepreneurs. They need to find their people they can relate to. They need to network. There's something, you know, so what's that? I made it bigger. It's not just about me. It's a trend. And also it's a bigger story that the reporter can use to make a much bigger piece. So it's not, hey, join a networking group, but rather avoiding the pitfalls of the lonely entrepreneur.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's kind of like, you know, the kind of story that other people can relate to. They can see themselves in the story.
Exactly. Most journalists by default have an entrepreneurial bug within them.
Mm. Now that's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. And do you have any tips about, I mean, people are always asking about email pitches. And I mean, the things that I often say is, you know, subject header, you need to summarize the story, not to be clever, just summarize the story. First line.
Clever, but I have no problem being clever, but I think that, you know, clever has to tie in with being smart. End of the day, you have, a reporter has about 4 seconds of interest, if that. And so you're looking at 2 paragraphs max. Anything more than 2 paragraphs, my ADD triggers kick in and I'm like, oh my God, I can't read this. I'm scared. It's, you know, give me 2 paragraphs, make it brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And that subject header has got to be standout, hasn't it? Because most journalists get...
And again, not about your client, but something, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, suicide rates almost double for entrepreneurs versus regular people, you know, is a great headline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that first line is obviously really important. Couple of paragraphs. Are there any other things people can do in their email pitches to get attention, or is it pretty much that?
I mean, again, it's pretty much that, but you just want to keep it quick and you want to make sure you have as much contact info as humanly possible, right? So being everything you could possibly have in that: name, email, phone number, mobile phone number, everything, home line, whatever it is, make sure you're... The last thing you want is not to be able to get a story run because you were too stupid to give them ways to contact you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And do you have any tips on, I mean, people often ask me about building relationships with journalists and they say, oh, you know, in the old days, we could get a lunch with a journalist, we could go and meet them for coffee. That's tougher. But go on, what were you going to say?
I hate doing all that because I hate, you know, if I'm in the office, I'm in the office to write, I'm in the office to get stuff done. The worst thing you could possibly do is, oh, let's have lunch. That totally destroys my day. So here's, you know, if you have a pitch, give me 5 minutes. I'll give you 5 minutes on the phone if I like the pitch. But come on, you know, lunch is frustrating. I allot 1 day a week to going out of the office and having a lunch. So I have a backlog.
Yeah. And do you think, I mean, people often come to me quite frustrated and they say, I've been asking, I mean, it does help, you know, if you've met somebody in person and you've built a personal relationship with them, then it does sort of break the ice a little bit, doesn't it?
Right. But on the flip side, I can create almost this very similar personal relationship by phone.
Yeah.
And then over time, if I want to, I could turn that into a bigger.
And what are your thoughts about networking on social media? People ask me a lot about networking with journalists on social media. You mentioned it earlier.
I'm a huge fan of following the ones who are important, mm-hmm. people who I like. You know, for me, again, make sure you're giving me something worthy, something worthwhile. Give me a reason to follow you. If someone follows me and then pitches me, and I notice they followed me and they've targeted their pitch toward me based on things I've said on Twitter, you have a better chance of getting a response.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I often say to people almost kind of to stalk, to make a Twitter list of journalists that you're interested in working with, stalk them a bit, see what they're talking about, maybe respond to a few things without being too sort of stalkery, but try and sort of build up a bit of relationship there. Because I can often tell actually with my journalist hat on, if someone pitches me and I can, you know, they've been interacting with me on Twitter, I usually will kind of remember their name or remember what they've said. Would you say that was a good idea?
Yep. Definitely.
And you're a regular pundit on sort of big media outlets like Fox News, like CNN, New York Times. Do you have any tips on getting any more of those kind of gigs?
I think the best thing you could do is pitch a reporter when they're not, or pitch a producer when they're not busy, right? Not when breaking news happens. You want to make sure that they understand that you're available when breaking news happens, but pitch them when it's not and say, here's what I'm good at, right?
I know some clients, when they've tried that kind of thing before, and I know certainly for me that sometimes those kind of emails get kind of put in a, you know, they get filed away somewhere and they get forgotten about. I'm an expert in deep sea fishing, or I'm an expert in, I don't know, marketing something or other.
Right.
Is there any value to just picking up the phone if something happens?
If something happens, shoot them an email. There's nothing wrong with shooting them an email and going back saying, hey, I pitched you a couple months ago. I let you know who I am. I just want to let you know that I'm still available for this breaking story. That way they can go back into their email and search for you. And they say, oh yeah, this guy did pitch me. Okay, he pitched me when nothing was happening. Cool, I'll give him a shout.
Mm, yeah. And what's your thought on stunts? I know you've written a book, haven't you, on PR stunts?
A stunt is pointless. If you're going to do a stunt, make sure there's some value in it. Make sure it's going to stick around longer than just a stunt. You want to make sure people have a way to talk about it. Make sure it follows up. You know, you don't want to just, there's no point otherwise. Make sure there's something valuable there.
Do you have any examples of any stunts that you've worked on with clients that have worked quite well for you?
I did an event with a client back in the day where we gave away free domain names for 1 hour, crashed the internet, which was fun. You know, but it was the concept that we said domain names shouldn't have to cost this is back when they still cost $75. This is before GoDaddy. We're like, they don't have to cost $75. They should be free. And so we gave away free. And huge, tremendous exposure. But more importantly, it changed the game about how people thought about purchasing digital assets. So that was good. That kept things busy.
Mm, yeah.
So that was important.
Lots of the listeners to my show will be entrepreneurs or solopreneurs or people running their own business, and they're wondering whether they need to hire a PR company. What would you say to them?
I think the best thing I'd say to them is understand if you have a big story and it's bigger than just you, you should consider an agency, but it's not mandatory. You can probably, if you can devote a half an hour a day to doing PR, you could probably do it on your own. Make sure you, if you do hire an agency, that you've done a ton of research, had a ton of their current clients willing to talk to you, because there are a lot of shysters out there. You want to make sure you have the right person. You want to find out who's going to be on your team. You know, it's one thing to meet with the CEO and then you get a 22-year-old kid handling your PR. That's a problem. So make sure that you're talking to the right people. Make sure they're giving you the right information.
Okay, great. And one last little thing is about media crises. So I'm assuming that you've had to deal with some things that have gone wrong over the years. What are your thoughts on dealing with a crisis?
The best advice I can give for crisis is to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, make sure that everyone knows how to reach everyone else, make sure that the entire company is on one party line and says one thing and one thing only, right? Because the worst thing in the world is one person to say one thing and another person in the company to say something else. So make sure it's all together and that you have the right way to communicate, and then understand it's never personal and that you will get through it.
Mm, yeah, because I mean, my feeling on media crisis, when I sort of counsel people through it, is that often it seems a lot bigger than it is, and people get bored quickly, particularly now we've kind of got a 24/7 news culture and social media, and people do tend to move on quite quickly. Is that your experience?
I do believe it is. Yeah. I call it the Lindsay Lohan experience. No matter what you do and no matter how bad things go, Lindsay Lohan will always do something stupid and be in the media within 48 hours. So you'll be okay.
Okay, great. And one last little thing. We started off by talking about how most people are horrible at storytelling. Do you have a handle on why most people are horrible. And any quick tips on what they could do better?
I think the best thing people can do is, again, to listen to their audience, understand their audience, question their audience, find out what they want. Remember that it's about the audience, it's not about them. And finally, understand that having an audience is a privilege, not a right.
Yeah.
It's just like wearing spandex. Not everyone has the right to wear spandex. For the majority of us, it's a privilege that we get by working out really hard. So it's the same thing with having an audience. It's a privilege to have an audience, not a right. And that audience can go away anytime if they are not paid attention to.
Brilliant. A privilege, not a right. A great soundbite to end on. So thank you for that. And where can we find you if we want to learn more about you?
So my life is at shankman.com, but I have two other websites as well. I run a mastermind group at shankminds.com. And then I also run a website for people with ADD and ADHD like myself who believe it's a gift. And that's at fasterthannormal.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that.
Pleasure was mine.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, I'd love it if you came and joined my Facebook community. It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'll link to it in the show notes.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.